I love it when you're a traveling ministry, or I suppose if you're a leader in the church, you know, and you're the one that's going to preach. Yeah, thank you, Dan. You're the one that's going to preach. We all have to live by faith. If I don't feel a sense of I need confirmation of the Holy Spirit, I'm in arrogance, and it's almost like, oh, I don't need confirmation. I know what God's saying. It's like I always like to have the confirmation. So when I pray and I put together the message that I believe, when I turn up at the service, and then everything around me starts to confirm what is in my spirit. I love it because I know God is confirming his own word. Therefore, he will confirm his word in the people that hear it and receive it. Thank you for that underwhelming response. Now, as I've always said, if you don't like shouting, breathe louder. At least we know you're awake. Don't snore, because then we know you're sleeping. If I say anything that's really good, you can shout, amen. Yeah. If it gets better than that, glory to God. If it gets better than that, slap the person either side and say, wake up, God is speaking. And if it gets even better than that and God speaks right into your circumstance, a miracle word, then run down here, throw your purse and your wallet on the floor, and let us take the offering. Because then we know revivals come when nobody concerns, because that's the... No, I won't say that. Quickly, just my books are at the back. What I'm about to share with you this morning was already set. Bill just mentioned about reset. Press the reset button. Achieving heaven's vision for your life. Pressing the reset button on the way we do church. I think the Lord might be speaking. Don't Kick the Donkey is about preparation, what God is doing in the earth. I want to tell you, we've been going through preparation for 2,000 years. Yeah. There is a move of God that was prophesied before Jesus went to the cross, and it is about to explode in the earth. There will be the most greatest revival and reformation and move of God we have ever seen in history. More people will come into the kingdom of God in this move of God than has ever come into the kingdom of God in the past. There is a move of the Holy Spirit that's going to take the church right out of herself and put her into the power of God. And when we see the things of Jesus healing the sick the way he did, the whole towns got healed and whole communities got delivered. We saw the same thing with Peter and James and John and the early disciples. And we saw the same thing with Paul. And then for some reason, we think it stopped. I can't find that anywhere in my Bible. I can't find that in church history either. I want to tell you, it carried on. And it's carried on. One of our friends had over 4 million people gathered in a crusade in Philippines. 4 million. In Nigeria, when I was there, they had just had a conference, and the government said you can never have a conference like this again to the churches, because 20 million people came to the conference. Such is the move of God. Every conceivable healing and miracle that you could think of was happening. And it's happening today. And God is giving us the warm-up. He's telling us it's here. But it won't happen if you think church has got to stay the same as it's always been for 2,000 years. It doesn't work that way. There is something the Holy Spirit is saying and something the Holy Spirit is doing, and we have to respond to that. It says in the book of Revelation that John wrote down and said that Jesus told him, listen to what the Holy Spirit says or is saying. He did not said. It's great that what he said. What's more vital is what he's saying. Because it's today. It's fresh. And Bill just mentioned it. We need to hear the Holy Spirit and what he's saying today. And in our heart attitude. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus went to the cross, how much of himself did he give? Did he give a tithe? Amen. Breathe louder. Amen. He didn't give 10%. He gave his all. He has this funny sensation. He has, and we'll have to have a word with him one day, but right now he seems to think that when you said you give him your life, you meant all of it, not 10%.
Glory.
Amen. We have one life, Christian. All right, turn with me to Genesis 8. And then my worship manual, which is a daily study on the lifestyle of worship. That's up there as well. I want you to know I've said this everywhere. The Lord is really on my case to finish all 5 books. The next one is 50% done. And the third one will come out at the end of the year. The only resource believer will need to know how to disciple somebody in the faith, because there won't be a building big enough to hold the people. There won't be enough leaders to be able to disciple everyone, because discipleship is personal. And just like it is raising your children, you don't go next door and say, will you look after them and for the next 10 years? You might ask them to look after them for a couple of hours, but not the 10 years or the rest of their life. You brought them into the world. You look after them is the idea. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to preach this way. Maybe the walls will cry out or something. Okay, turn to someone and say, I think he's going to preach right to you today. Genesis 8, 22, it says this, while the earth remains, is the earth remaining? Is it still, is it still here? All right. So what this says must be true for today. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Let's just ask rhetorical questions, I know, but that's just because some Christians just don't look at what they read. They just read it and they don't understand it. Do we still have dark and night, night and day? Sorry, yeah. Do we still have cold and hot? Well, if you're in Bridgend in Wales, maybe not so much difference in the year, but it should technically be warmth and a season of cold, a season of warmth, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Winter and summer still exist? The earth remains? These three things, we all say, yes, this is fine. Seed time and harvest, does it still happen? Do you plant anything and it grows? Yeah? Do the farmers plant stuff and it grows? Yeah. Do you ever see a farmer saying, I don't believe it's God's will? Hello? Do you ever see a sailor who's going to go out and going to sail and cross the channel, across the ocean, thinking, oh my God, what happens when it goes dark? They just get on with it, don't they? Because they know how to navigate the dark. They know how to navigate the... Farmers never go to bed worrying about the crop. They don't worry about the harvest. They don't think, well, I know it worked for my daddy and I know it worked for my granddaddy, but I'm not sure it's going to work for me. But it's amazing. God's word works all the way through history, but Christians today think it'll work for someone else and not for them. Oh, that was a really good word to encourage everyone. God's word works. If it doesn't, forget salvation. How can you trust a God to save you of all your sins and deliver you out of this body into a new body in heaven where you can't see it? You can't experience it right, other than you can experience eternal life on the inside, but you don't know about this new body. When you die, you're going to still be in this body. It's only when you leave, that split second, a new body is given to you. But you can't see it on this earth, and yet you're believing for salvation, but you don't believe all of his word. Now, I said to you again, did Jesus give all or 10%? Jesus is the word. He didn't give you 10% and say, well, I'll keep 10% of the word for you. Because you wouldn't know which 10%, would you? I'll do it for 10% of the people that call me Savior. Well, you wouldn't know if are you one of those? You'd have doubt. No. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And his word is for all. He wishes that none should perish. None. He wishes that none should perish. There's the gospel for you. Because if he says he wishes none should perish, that means the gospel of salvation works anywhere for anyone at any time. Day, night, summer, winter, cold, warm. Hello? While the earth remains. Okay, let's get started. Who made the earth? God. Okay. It fascinates me. He gave it to Adam. He gave it to Adam because Adam would serve him. We know what Adam did. He sinned. But that word of the Lord go into all the world. Let's go on. We didn't finish that one sentence. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now that's a quote straight from Genesis 2. God said to Adam, go into all the world and be fruitful and multiply and fill it and subdue it. Have dominion over all of it. So it was given to Adam, yeah? Hello? Not Adam the person, Adam mankind. Because the word Adam means man, mankind, and the person called Adam. But the promise was to mankind. For all to have dominion, for all to have those things, for all of us to be able to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and serve it. Yeah? Okay. He didn't give it to Apple. He didn't give it to Coca-Cola. He didn't give it to Ford Motor Vehicle Company. But they seem to think the earth belongs to them, and they try to do this word on their own. They begin to multiply cars, and you can go to the middle of the rural area in India and find a Ford. You'll find out there a Coca-Cola machine. The poorest of the poorest people sometimes will get onto Facebook on an iPhone. In the middle of nowhere. Hello? How come it wasn't given to Apple, it wasn't given to Coke, it wasn't given to Ford or any other manufacturing company? It was given to the church. It was the people of God. It was given to, if it belongs to Jesus, it belongs to you and me. Because all of him, when we were made in him and we were put into Christ when we were saved, it says we became joint heirs with Christ. Not in him, with him. We are seated at the right hand of the Father over all things because Christ is over all things. And that's our vantage point. That's our place of dominion. And he says, now go into all the world from that vantage point. What to do? Multiply it. Fill the earth. Subdue the devils. Yes. Amen. Someone should do that. No, you. You. The person that just thought that, yes, someone should do that. You. Have you ever watched a television and got so frustrated with the situation that the government isn't fixing? And you said, somebody ought to just fix that. Yes, you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. So when something's not working the way God intended it to, we press the reset button. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is willing to do that in your life today. He's willing. He did it the day you got saved. If you're not saved here today, he's willing to press the reset button in your life and get it back to where it was meant to be. But if you are saved, he can press a reset button and get you out of that churchianity and that religious mode of operation and let you walk in the things of the Spirit, walk in the strength of Almighty God, that you begin to see why you breathe, why you live. You live not just to worship him, but to worship him by filling the earth and multiplying and subduing the enemy and restoring it the way God intended it to. So let's carry on with that. Turn with me to Romans 1:16. I want to tell anyone anywhere this morning that's here or listening, the word of God works for anyone, anywhere, at any time, if you put faith in it. I grew up in a Methodist church. That's not an indictment, that's just a fact. I went to Sunday school. I read the Bible, the children's version. I read the stories. I read all the things. I remember them. I remember David and Goliath, which I quoted earlier. I remember it from when I was tiny. I stayed in the Methodist church until I was about 17 years of age, and I heard every week the Word of God read. And someone would, what they called it, preaching. I don't think it was so much preaching, but they certainly said some messages about it. But they read the Word of God every single meeting. And yet, it never affected me at all. I left the Methodist church when I was 17 and fell in love with performance. And I went full-time as a professional. I went on television, radio, traveled the country, preaching, singing in some of the top nightclubs, etc. I loved it. But it did not fulfill in here. And then I chased money. It did not fulfill in here. But one day at the edge of my life, as you all know, or some of you know, I should say, how I got saved, I heard the audible voice of God when I went to commit suicide. And 7 days later, watching the film Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit takes the words in the television program and slaps them straight into my heart and reduces me down to my knees, and I repent of my sin, not knowing I've got sin, repent of the mess of my life, when I didn't really have much of a mess of my life, other than I was lost. And I was saved that very day. What happened was I suddenly acted on what I heard. I suddenly got convicted by what I heard, and it did something to me, and I responded to it. You can go to church all your life. You can stay and have a devotion every single morning, and you can read the Word of God, but not have the impact of what it says on the paper, because it's got to come to a place to convict you and make you respond to it. There's got to be a hunger in you that you want more than what you've got. I'll tell you now, the day that you get a passion to have something greater than you got it now. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So in other words, the power of the gospel, not just for salvation to get you snatched into righteousness. No, the power of the gospel is more than getting saved. It's about getting healed. It's about getting delivered. It's about getting made whole. It's about your provision. It's about your protection. It's about everything in life that you'll have in heaven. You can start having it right here on earth. But that gospel of salvation is the power of God. If it's not preached with faith, it won't give faith. But if it's preached with faith, it's got to be listened with faith. Okay. Asda are giving away Easter eggs for anyone. If you believed that, you'd be out now. You'd be, bye. You'd be, George, did you see that? Oh my God, let's get the coats on. Wrist straight down to Asda. Why? Because you believe it. If you were like me, you go, yeah, right. That's fake. I wouldn't move. And that's what we do when we read the Bible. We read the Bible and we say, well, yeah, that was for then. You just null and voided it. Oh, yeah, but that's okay for Bill and Ness. Doesn't work for me. You just voided it. So somebody said, God is sovereign. Who can stop him? Me. Me. I can stop him. I can't stop him being God, but I can stop him doing what being God in my life. And the things that he says he wants to do, I can stop him by just not believing or not obeying. Hello? There's got to be a faith level, and there's got to be a response. If I'm in faith, you'll know it. Anybody know what an apple tree looks like? How do you know that? Did you go to school to find out? Did you go to university with Bill? You went 3 years and you found out what an apple tree looks like. I knew that was a little one. I knew what rhubarb was because we used to steal it. Apples, we used to steal them out of the orchards. Be chased down the road by the guy who owned the orchard. You knew what it was. You grew up knowing. Listen, you know. Okay. I don't know when it was, but a man called Tesla worked out that there was electricity in the earth. I don't know if he was the first guy, but he was certainly one of the big guys that made us all understand. He is the one, believe it or not, who prophesied our generation. There would be a generation who would talk on a telephone without any cables and without being in the same country. And they would even be able to look on the screen and see people and talk to them all around the world. But he's one that began to talk about electricity. But I want you to know, he didn't discover electricity. Electricity was always here. It's in creation. It's been here since the creation existed. All man has ever done is tap into it. And when they worked with the laws of electricity, electricity blessed them. If they went against the laws of electricity, anybody stuck two fingers in a socket? How I don't have curly hair, I don't know. But grab both ends of a battery in a car without thinking, straight through you, you know. So you work with the laws of electricity and it will bless you, okay? The electricity grid has more power than you will ever need. But your house, as long as you paid for your house and as long as you pay your utility bills, that electricity will come into your house and it will power your light switch. It'll power all your light switches in every room. If you've got 20 in every room, it'll do it to all of them. And if you've got a washing machine or a dryer, or if you've got an electric piano or a television or five televisions, a radio, a computer, a Hoover, every single thing that works by electricity, the electricity power comes into the house and it will make anything and everything work for you as long as you pay the bill. I got good news for you. The electricity is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the house of God, and the bill has already been paid for. Turn the light on. Turn everything on. You can use it all because he gave it to you all, and he gave all of what he wanted to give it to you all the time. And it's there. As long as you want it, that grid keeps pulling it in, pulling it in. That's the kingdom of God. That's the work of God. He is unlimited. The more you use, the more it will come. And in anyone, anywhere, everywhere. My God. People must look at us. They should be looking at the church going, are they crazy? Why? Because you just do the most incredible things and it works. Why? Because faith works. Okay. As long as you're connected to the grid will provide. And as long as you connect it to the Holy Spirit will work in you. The Bible is the unlimited utilities of God. My knowing what it says and totally believing the word of God releases his grace, his enabling ability for me to have what he has already said I can have. Hello? Okay. Did he say he wants none to perish? Oh, yeah. So that means anyone this morning, doesn't matter what the sin, doesn't matter where, how many sins, it doesn't matter where they come from, it doesn't matter who they are. They could walk right here today and say, I want to put my faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will he save me? And the answer is what?
Yes.
Well, how is that any different than any other aspect of the word? Will he save anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. Will he save them anywhere? Will he save them at any time?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello? Some of you are going, are you looking at me? Are you not sure? Does it matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning in a nightclub?
No, absolutely not.
That's probably the best place to go.
Absolutely.
Because that's where the open hearts are.
Yep.
How many of you have seen a fisherman fishing in his garden? What are you doing, Joe? Fishing. There's no river here, Joe. There's no lake. There's no pond. Where do you get the fish? So the fisherman has to go to where the fish are. not asked a fish. I've never seen a fish jump out of a pond or a pool or a lake or a river and start making its way to the farmer, to the fisherman's house saying, save me, catch me. Have you? No. But the church wants the world to come to its meetings. Press the reset button. Let's do it the way Jesus did it. He went to everywhere. He went to the people. He went to where the mess was. He went to the brokenhearted. He went to the lost. He went to the blind. He went to the deaf. He went to the religious. He went everywhere there was people led of the Spirit. It says the Spirit led him. In John 4, it says he goes into Samaria to see the woman at the well. And it says he was led. It meant the word there is compelled. The Holy Spirit inside of him is compelling. There may be a shorter way if you want to go this way, but I'm compelling you to go this way because there's a woman you've got to meet, and you're going to lead her into salvation, and she's going to affect the whole of that community. He was led of the Spirit. Well, he wants you to be led of the Spirit, me to be led of the Spirit. He wants us to be compelled to understand we are not to come in. We are to go out. It's not how many come in. It's how many go out equipped to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason we gather together is to be nurtured in the word and to grow in faith and to grow in understanding. But the answer is to walk in what we learned, walk in everything we've been taught, walk in everything he says in the New Testament we can walk in so that it works in our life. Then people are automatically drawn. I am automatically drawn to a fruit tree that's laden with fruit. If I can see a fruit tree over there and it's got no fruit on it, it didn't make me go across. But if I see it's laden and I'm hungry, I'm going to go across to the one that's got all the fruit on. Hello? Oh, you're preaching real good, Wynn. This is really good. Keep going. The Word of God is no respecter of a person. It's no respecter of time or a culture. It will work for anyone. We talk about the times of the apostle, but let me tell you, Alexander, Dowie, A.A. Allen, Smith Wigglesworth, Oral Roberts, and the charismatic movement all saw the same miracles Jesus and the apostles saw. When I got saved, I saw miracles without even praying for people. They would just touch my body and the power of God went into them and they were healed because the atmosphere, the culture was expectant. It seems to me today that the church is not expectant. They're expecting to go to a church. They're expecting to meet in a building. They're expecting the person on the platform to give them great lavish worship or a great word from Jesus. But that's what they're expecting. They're not expecting Jesus and the Holy Spirit to do the impossible and the unthinkable right where they are. And it's got to be press the reset button to turn our life inside out and upside down and realize God can move in your house. God, or the factory you drop the grandchildren off or pick them up after school. God can work anywhere you're expecting him to work. Everywhere you believe for him to work. God will do everything he promised he will do. He cannot not do it. Are you awake? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death. Where's that brother? Where is he? He came forward earlier. There he is. You quoted this. And the next verse. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he gives you a hint. Choose life. Like he has to tell us that. He must be talking to the church. He must be. Because we hear the words of life and still choose death. Hello? Okay. Has anyone ever been or met an Italian? Anyone ever met an Italian? Yeah? Okay. How do you know they're Italian? Spanish person. Are they different? They're different. Well, they don't speak Spanish. How do you know a Spanish person? They speak Spanish. How do you know a French person? They speak French. How do you know an Australian? Because they wear a cap. And it's true. I can tell an Italian before he opens his mouth. It's the way he walks. Italians have a walk. It's just the way they are. They just... Hello? How do you know a person of faith? The language. Hello? Hello? How do you know the language of religion? How do you know a person's just religious? Because they speak a language that does not include faith. They keep talking what the word says, but they don't believe what it will do it today. They say it, that this is what the Bible, oh yeah, the Bible says that. Do you believe it will work for you? Oh no. There's a language that comes. It says in Pentecost, I'm trying to rush it to an end now. Listen, when it says when Jesus told the apostles to go to the upper room and wait, and he will ask the Father, and the Father will pour out his Holy Spirit to you. He said that statement to 500 believers, and yet 380 are missing. Only 120 are in the upper room. And everyone in that upper room, it says they heard the sound of heaven. Can I tell you that word sound also means language? There is a sound of heaven, and it does not sound like the earth. It does not sound like religion. It does not sound like belief. If you could hear God speak today, you would hear faith. You would hear peace. You would hear joy. Unthinkable. What we just talked about just now, the fruits of the Spirit. If you heard Jesus talking when you lived 2,000 years ago, it would feed you faith, because he did not have any unbelief whatsoever. He didn't have judgment. He didn't have criticism. He didn't have unbelief or fear or doubt or guilt. Therefore, you would never have heard any of those things. All you would ever hear was pure, unadulterated faith coming out of his mouth. That's how they knew he was different. Now will a church be known to be different if she keeps on talking just like the world? Your mouth orders your world, and your mouth tells everybody what you believe. If you don't believe that, just ask your friends what comes out of your mouth the most. If they're genuine friends, they'll tell you. We were over in Louisiana a number of years ago at one of our churches in our network and preached a message like this, and the place was in uproar. People shouted. A young girl had come from another church that knew us from another church. She'd come to hear us, and she's standing up going, "Amen, Brother Wynn. Amen, Brother Wynn. Go preach it, Brother Wynn." A bit like this morning. At the end of the service, the pastor says, "Listen, we've booked a restaurant, and all the leadership and their families are coming. I suppose you'd like us to take your friend from the other church so you can see her." So I said, "That'd be great, yeah." So she comes and sits right here, sort of thing, you know. We sit down. We haven't been in there 5 minutes. And this girl begins to moan and groan and criticize and say, "Oh, well, yeah, well, that, you know, it's woe is me about everything." And this one, don't ever get on the wrong side of Gwenda, because Gwenda, everyone goes, "Oh, she's so sweet." Yeah, till you cross the line. She's like a little terrier. And she stood up and she looked at this girl and said, "Did you not hear one thing my husband preached? He preached for an hour, probably more, but preached for an hour. And did you not hear one sign? Because you stood up and shouted, 'Amen and amen.' Preach it, Brother Wynn. And yet the moment you come out of the building, what you go back to is talking old unbelief and fear and guilt and rejection and all the nonsense that goes with sin in the world." The whole room, the whole restaurant is, and me. Because she was right. Absolutely right. You can come in here and go, "Oh, what a wonderful time of worship and the word of the Lord. Oh, wow." You go outside and, "Oh, yeah. Are you of the world or the kingdom? Of the earth or heaven? The Bible says the day you got born again, your citizenship is heaven. Therefore, out of your mouth should come the language of Jesus. Hello. Turn to somebody and say, I told you he was going to be preaching to me. Words are packages of life. It goes on and says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its flesh. In other words, if you love life, you'll speak life, and you'll receive the evidence of life, the fruit of it, in your body, in your soul, in your mind, in your marriage and family. If you like death, you'll speak the words of death. Guess what? You'll eat of what you sow. Why? Because the sowing and the reaping is still existing. It's not just carrots, leeks, and potatoes. It's words. Words of health, words of hope, words of faith, words of joy, words of love. Do you know, I have 1,000 opportunities to criticize. I have to choose. I'm not saying it. I'm saying this. I have a wider family, same as everybody, but they think you ought to talk like them, and I won't. I won't criticize. I will not call people sick. I will not call people broken. I certainly won't call a Christian broken. Why would I do that? They've been healed and made whole in Christ. Oh, it broke my heart. I heard a prophecy in a meeting in London once, and I couldn't believe it. I just turned to the pastor and just said, you are going to stop that and correct that, aren't you? Why? This lady stood up and started crying. I, thus saith the Lord, my heart is broken because of what you've done. And I went, if God's heart is broken, we got no chance. If he's broken, how does he heal? How does he make whole if he's broken? Hello? But this is prophecy, and the church thought it was the Lord. It's not the Lord at all. If it contradicts what he says, and it contradicts his personality, contradicts his nature and his fruit. The words you choose and use determines the world that operates. James calls it the rudder, or a little fire that starts a storm in the flesh. Words can heal, and words can make sick. A little innocent girl came into her father's room one day. He was in his office working. He was one of those busy authors and lecturers, and so he was writing and writing and writing. She came in. She was just small. And her mother had just taken her out, and because it was coming to Easter, funny enough, she bought her an Easter dress with a bonnet. And she ran into her father and went, Daddy, look, look. And he turned to her and just said, get out. Don't you see how busy I am? For goodness sake, I've told you over and over and over how busy I am, and not to just run in and disturb me because you can throw me and all my concentration's gone. What does the girl do? Don't tell me words don't have power. You say it enough to that girl, and rejection will fill her heart, and a wall of barriers will come down between her father and her daughter just because of words. Same happens in husbands and wife and in families. Same happens in churches. If it's not the words Jesus would use, don't use them. Learn to understand this power of life and death in your tongue. You are here because you can't meet in another location. Guess what? You could speak life over the whole village. That light can fill the darkness and disperse it. Have you ever seen light and darkness have an argument? No, light, darkness exists because the light's not turned on. But if you turn the light on, darkness disappears instantly. There's no battle. When you come into this area, and it was maybe lots of darkness. Yeah, but I'm going to take ownership of this village. Why? Because it belongs to me as much as it belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to religion. It doesn't belong to sickness or disease. It doesn't belong to fear and guilt and all those other things that go with the world and the sin. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Therefore, I want to walk in and take dominion and multiply. And I want to sow the seeds of faith. I want to sow the seeds of joy. I want to sow the seeds of peace into this community. That when you leave, everybody knows you left. Not going, thank God for that. They were so miserable. I want to finish with an account, of a true, genuine account. I was in Texas preaching at a friend's church. And there was a lot of ministry afterwards, and then a lot of talking in the green room and everything else. And then he said, come on, we need to take you to a restaurant to have a meal. I looked at the watch, it's 9 o'clock before we leave the building. He said, oh, there's not many places open, but there's a place called Chili's, and we can get a meal there. So we went in, the girl put us at a table, and there's a lot of racket over here, down a little side area, and there's about 30 people all eating together, and they're shouting and talking over each other, a lot of noise, and so we just carried on talking, etc. Saw the girl come out, the waitress, and she goes around to them and starts delivering the food to them that they've ordered. And all of a sudden, I didn't order this, I didn't order that, this is wrong, this is not right, I wanted this, I didn't ask for that, I wanted that, shouting back critically at her, and this is cold, go on, take it back, get it warm, and really being aggressive, and I'm thinking, my God, they're rude. I don't normally see rude Americans. They're normally really nice. But this bunch are really obnoxious. So we had our meal and we carried on. And then all of a sudden, she gets called back again to pay the bill. And so she gets the machine and she does the stuff. And she gives. And a lady, the big lady at the side, suddenly turns to her and gives her a card and says, by the way, I'm a pastor of the local church. These are some of my people. And we would like to invite you to come to church. And this young girl, with all her dignity, said, well, thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you very much. And thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. And good night. God bless. And she turned and she was walking around back towards the kitchen. And right there was a huge bin. And I knew what was going to happen to that card. And she walked around, dropped it straight in the bin. Why? Even if she wanted to be in a church, she won't go into that one. And I had just a few minutes to knock that right out of her mind. I said, Jesus, show me what to do. And he did. She came out the kitchen. I said, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me. And she comes over. She said, what can I do for you, sir? I said, oh, nothing. Something I can do for you. And I put $50 in her hand. And she said, what's that for, sir? I said, that's not church. That's not Jesus. That's not the way Jesus would treat you. Jesus would treat you with such love and such care and such consideration. He would be joy. If the food was cold, he would probably laugh or stick his hands on it and make it warm. I said, please forget that, what you happened. That is not an expression of Jesus Christ. And her eyes filled up and walked away, thanking me, praising me. Why? Well, I needed to do something to knock it right out of her thought pattern. Otherwise, forevermore, she will always have. When somebody says the word church, she'll just picture that night. I told her I was a Christian and I was a minister. And these friends of mine were pastors of another church as well. Thank God. Your words are life or death. When you see yourself in the mirror every morning, do you speak life or death? When you see a bank balance that doesn't look that good, what do you say, life or death? Do you agree with it or just speak and tell it what to do? Oh, you think I'm crazy. Do you know, I don't have a job with a salary. I live totally by faith. If money doesn't come in, Gwenda and I don't have any. If it comes in, we do. It comes in all sorts of times, all sorts of days, all sorts of moments. We never know when it's coming in because we don't know. But I can tell you now, our larder is full. Our bank account is overflowing. Why? Words. I threw my checkbook on the floor once and danced around it. I was furious. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to dance, praising the Lord. Thank you, Father. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The world is the oyster of the Lord, and the riches of the gold and silver belong to me, said the Lord. Therefore, they belong to me. Finances will come, etc. And you think, oh, golly, finances. Yeah, every area of my life. Every area of my life. We danced over our granddaughter who's in a mess, off in the world in drugs and goodness knows what. We just danced and danced and danced, never worried at all. We just thanked the Lord. She came back totally on fire for Jesus. Your world works because God created it to listen to his word. Light be. And there was. So guess what? When the word of God comes out of your mouth or my mouth, the same thing happens if I believe it. Would you stand with me if you can? If you don't, you can't, don't worry. Just stay there. Has anyone been to a country or a part of a country where they speak a different language and they don't understand English at all? Have you ever tried to communicate? What do? They just smile. They just look at you and look at one another going. It's a bit like that in church. Somebody comes in speaking a language of the Spirit, a language of heaven, the language of Jesus. And because we're not used to it, we have a resistance towards it. But if the power of God works to get you saved, it will work to get you healed. It will work to get you delivered. It will work to get your children saved and your grandchildren saved to 1,000 generations. It will work for anything that you put your heart to and anywhere you send it to. It will not return to you void. It will return to you having accomplished what you sent it out to do. Why? Because it's God's word, and God's word never returns to him void, but returns to him having accomplished that what he sent it out to do. Let's get rid of doubt in our language. Let's get rid of unbelief in our language. When you hear somebody in the congregation saying the opposite to the word of God, don't let them carry on. Love them enough to tell them, no, we don't talk like that. Welsh churches have been the most split churches over the years. Why? Criticism. Nothing is ever 99% right. It's always 1% wrong. And they focus on the 1% and criticize. Let me tell you, that's not the language of heaven. When you go to heaven, you won't find any criticism. So get used to it on earth. Start the revolution right here. Moaning and groaning. Nothing changes. Well, something does change by moaning and groaning. You. But the circumstance doesn't change when you moan and groan, but it will change when you start speaking in faith. And God has called you to speak faith. Speak his language. And all of creation hears it. And angels respond to it because they recognize who's speaking. Would you join hands right now? Gwenda and I here, we'll pray for anyone afterwards. We'll pray for anyone for anything as long as you come in faith and expectant. If you don't, well, we come and pray that changes. But let me just ask us now, let's make a corporate prayer that the Lord will do an amazing miracle right here in the congregation. that the language of the Spirit begins to flow in all our lives, that the language of heaven begins to tumble out of our spirit and out of our mouth, that we begin to say what he says. Hello? And when we walk down any street, we can speak it over any house, over every circumstance, and we can expect it to change. And it will. I promise you, it does. My life is a living testimony of the word working in my life and through my life. It's absolutely amazing, because I'm stupid, really. And God took somebody illiterate and uneducated, he took me out of fifth generation of poverty and put me into prosperity, because his word works. He delivered me of every anger and every guilt and every fear, because the word works. Amen. Father, we pray right now. Lord, we all know that there's an anointing on Jesus, and we know that the individual anointings can come on people. But Jesus has a body, and what's on the head can flow in the body and through the body and all over the body. And we want to be the body of Jesus, not the body of religion, not the body of a set church, but we want to be a body of Christ. We want the same thing that's in the head flowing through us. We want the same language in heaven flowing through us. We want the same thought patterns, the same attitudes, the same lifestyle. We want the whole thing, Lord. We didn't join up just to be a religious group or just a church group. We want to be a living word. We want to be ones that speak life, not death. We want to give life, not death. We want to see miracles and healings and signs and wonders because of your grace and your corporate anointing upon us. And we ask you right now, Lord, begin to move in your spirit, move in your power. Oh, God, move in your power. Deliver us from every sense of religion and fear and guilt that binds us, and loose us in the spirit of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that and want that, say amen. 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 Now turn to somebody and give them a hug. And tell him, I believe in miracles.
Yeah, always, always, always.
Thank you, Wynn. Enjoy a time of fellowship now together with a coffee. But if there's something that's just struck a chord and you want prayer, then please come up and we will be here to pray with you.